مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. Oh, مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, stay success, stay.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Viewers of Madri channel, please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. We'll begin by giving you blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak as we do in every gathering and every ishtima that we do. It is narrated that someone once had a dream in which he saw a deceased person were in the camp of the fire worshippers. The dreaming person asked the reason for this, and the deceased person replied that whenever I heard or mentioned the blessed name of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I did not recite Durood-e Pak upon him, and this sin has caused the loss of my iman and the loss of my mystical knowledge. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madri channel, you can see from this particular instance that the consequence, what your consequence of your sins can be. One, as a result of the sins that you commit, you are in danger of losing your iman at the time of your death as a result of committing sins. But before we go forward, I just want to make an important point here that with regards to the Sharia ruling, although it is certainly a cause for concern to have a bad dream about a person, the dream of a non-prophet is not conclusive proof of Sharia, and no Muslim can be declared an unbeliever just on the basis of a dream. Even if a deceased Muslim appears in someone's dream with any sign of unbelief, or the deceased Muslim himself informs the dreaming person about the loss of his iman, he can still not be declared an unbeliever. So in this particular case, it's just a message for us that as a result of your sins, you can lose your iman. With regards to reciting Durood-e Pak and what we should be doing, Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqah, Alama Mulana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, it is fard for a Muslim to recite Salat al-Nabi at least once in his life. In a congregation, it is wajib to recite Salat whether he mentions the blessed name of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself or he hears it from anyone else. Even if one hears the blessed name 100 times in a gathering, Allahu Akbar, he should recite Durood-e Pak each and every single time. If someone mentions or hears the blessed name and did not recite Salat at that time, he should recite it at a later time. From this parable that we've mentioned at the beginning, it contains a concern raising the account about the dream of a person that had passed away who had not recited Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this particular instance, the dream was that that person, as a result of this, he'd lost his iman and he'd lost his mystical knowledge. But what we should all be concerned about is we should all be concerned about the hidden plan of Allah azza wa jalla. What does Allah Azza wa Jal have a plan for us? Are we going to die with our iman? Are we going to protect our iman? And what do we need to do to protect our iman? Do we even know those things that can lose our iman? In this particular case, we were told that this person in his dream, he said that because I didn't recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I lost my iman. But do we know all of the things that can cause us to lose our iman? Are we even aware of them? And what's even more concerning, are we partaking in them actions that can cause us to lose our iman? Inshallah, in today's Beyond the Weekly Ishtima, we're going to talk about those things that can cause us to lose our iman, at that crucial moment in our time, at the moment of death, where we are in severe pain and our senses are not working properly. What are the acts that can lead up to that, that can cause us to lose our iman? It is stated in the book Sharh Sudur that there are four causes of a bad end. Number one, Allahu Akbar, laziness in offering your salah. Number two, consuming alcohol. Number three, disobedience to parents. Number four, causing harm to Muslims. If we just look at them four instances, then I believe that everybody that's watching this will probably have a reason to be concerned. Are we reading our namaz on time? Are we performing our daily prayers? I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and none of the viewers that are watching this now are consuming alcohol. But how many of us have been disobedient to be our parents? How many of us have not fulfilled the rights of our parents? How many of us have caused harm to our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters? And if we have, then we fall under the category, these four categories that are mentioned in this book, Sharh Sudur. And so we need to be very, very careful about the fact that if we look at the first instance about being lazy in our salah, you know, we need to make sure, we've been saying it day on, day out, that we need to discipline ourselves. And this is what Islam teaches us. Islam teaches us to discipline ourselves. Islam teaches us to have a routine. Islam doesn't teach us to leave our namaz to the last minute just before the next azan is about to take place and then read our namaz. Islam doesn't teach us to read our namaz because our namaz. Islam doesn't teach us that. Islam teaches us to discipline ourselves, to have a routine. In your daily lives, you have a routine where you go to work at a certain time, you have lunch at a certain time, you come home at a certain time, you have your evening meal at a certain time, you go to sleep at a certain time. Why can we not discipline ourselves to read our namaz 5 times a day? We can discipline ourselves in other things. But putting that aside, if, Allah forbid, you are amongst those people that has not been performing the salah 5 times a day, then please, I beg you to repent from that. Sincerely repent from the sin of not praying your salah. Allama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Murabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, when he talks about repentance, he said, in reality, repentance is to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he mentions that there are three pillars of repentance. You can't just, if you don't fulfill these three pillars, then it is believed that your repentance will not be accepted. Number one, admitting the sin. You've got to know that you've committed that sin, admit that you've committed the sin, admit to yourself that yes, I have been lazy in my salah, yes, I have been missing my namaz. And number two, which is just as important, feeling shame about it, feeling embarrassed about it. How many of us, we miss our namaz and we're not bothered, we don't care. We don't care if we've missed one namaz, 1, 2, 3, 4. Inshallah, we'll read it on Friday. Inshallah, I'll read it later on. You know, Ramzan's coming, I'll start reading my namaz in Ramadan. And we're not ashamed of the fact, not only that, unfortunately, what we do is we tell people, yeah, I missed my namaz today, but I'll start reading it on Friday. Yeah, I don't read my namaz, I'll start reading it in Ramadan. Number one, if you commit a sin, you should not expose your sin to others. Exposing your sin to others is a sin in itself. So we need to be very careful that whatever sins we are committing, one, we need to feel ashamed for them sins. Not be proud and tell people, yeah, I've not read my namaz this week, but yeah, when Ramadan comes, I'll sort myself out. I'll be a good boy during Ramadan. And then what happens? And the third category that is mentioned by the scholar here is determination to abandon the sin. So if you raise your hands and you say, Ya Allah, yes, I know. I know that I've been missing my salah. And you're fortunate enough to be ashamed of missing your salah, and you shed a tear in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you sincerely repent and say, Ya Allah, I know that I've erred, I know that I have made a mistake, I know that I've not read my namaz, but Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Allah, I make the intention, sincerely I intend, that I will never miss my namaz again. Now if you sincerely intend to miss your namaz, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you will be rewarded for that. But at the same time, remember this, if you have missed your namaz, then you cannot just like, Ya Allah, forgive me. You still have to complete them namazes. Imagine, to give you an example of how it is, imagine if you owe me some money, yeah? And you say to me that you owe me £1,000 and you're going to pay me £100 every day, yeah? On the first day, you don't pay it. And you say to me, brother, I'm really, really sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't pay that £100. The next day, you pay me £100. Now, do you owe me £900 or do you owe me £800? You still owe me £900. You still owe me that £100 that you didn't pay me the day before. You still owe me that money. You still have to pay that money. It's not as if, Ya Allah, brother, please forgive me. I've not paid you today. Brother, please forgive me. I've not paid you today. In the same way that if you have any bills to pay and you don't pay them on time, they won't forgive you. You can't say, oh, please forgive me. I've not paid the bill. You can make the phone call and say, yo, I'm sorry. I've not made the bill on time. But they're going to say, okay, pay the bill. In the same way, if you've missed your namaz, yes, seek forgiveness for missing your namaz. Sincerely repent in the court from Allah Azza wa Jalla that you're missing. No, but you still have to make them up. You still have to make them up. And there's a beautiful book that I want you to look for. It is the book of Misalas. It's part of it's a separate booklet, but it's also the book of Salah that is available on www.dawudislami.net. If you download the Salah book there, Inside there, there is one chapter, one booklet that tells you how to make up your misra, how to calculate them, and the best ways of making them up, making it easier for you. So please, if you have been missing your salah, make an intention to read your salah. It is stated in the book Minhaj al-Abidin that Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad once visited one of his students who was on his deathbed. Sitting beside the student, he began to recite Surah Yasin. But the student said, "Stop reciting Surah Yasin." Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said, reminded him to recite the kalma, but he replied, "I will never recite this kalma, astaghfirullah, and I have nothing to do with it." Saying these words, he passed away. Extremely saddened by the end of his student, Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad radiallahu ta'ala wept for 40 days in his house. After the 40th day, he had a dream in which he saw the same student being dragged into the hellfire by the angels. He said, "Why were you deprived of your mystical knowledge? You had a very high status amongst the students of mine." The student replied, "It was because of three bad habits. The first is telling tales. I used to tell one thing to my friends, but something else to you. The second is jealousy. I was jealous of my friends. And the third is drinking alcohol. On the advice of a doctor, I used to drink a glass of alcohol every year to be cured of a disease. Just one glass of alcohol." Allahu Akbar. We need to be afraid of what our end is going to be. And we're talking here about those things that can cause us to lose our iman at that time. Allama Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, "Allah forbid if a person utters words of kufr at the time of his death, the ruling of kufr will not be applied to that person, as it is possible that he may have lost his wisdom due to the agonies of death and utter these words in the state of unconsciousness." But we need to be very careful. We've just mentioned a few acts so far. We mentioned the fact that you are lazy in your salah. The fact that if you've consumed alcohol, we've just mentioned a waqia there. If you are disobedient to your parents, how many of us are disobedient to our parents? How many of us think nothing about being disobedient to our parents? We need to be afraid of this. If our parents are not happy with us, if we've been disobedient with our parents, we run the risk of losing our iman at that critical time. And fourthly, harming a fellow Muslim. As I've said before, how many of us harm people and don't even think about it? We think we're being clever. "Oh, I've got one over him. Yeah, I've sorted him out. I did him over." And you think you're clever because you've done someone over. You think you're clever because you've been able to, you know, be cleverer than someone else, or do someone over, or overcome them, or whatever it is that you've tried to prove that you're better than. But as a result of you achieving this, you've hurt their feelings. Okay, you've achieved something. But on the day of judgment, or the moment that you're going to lose, the angel of death comes and visits you. That achievement that you've made in the dunya will be nothing compared to the loss you will have on that day. Coming back to what we mentioned as well in this particular waqia, that telling tales has become so uncommon that people are even unaware of this deed. They're doing it all the time and they don't even think about it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Those who backbite, taunt others, tell tales and find fault with innocent people." I'll read it again. "Those who backbite, taunt others, tell tales and find fault with innocent people will be resurrected on the day of judgment in the forms of dogs." Astaghfirullah. It is mentioned in another hadith that the one who tells tales will not enter paradise. Viewers of Mother Channel, it is very important for us to avoid those sins that are leading to destruction. One of the ways of avoiding them is to acquire the knowledge and understanding of the sins. The problem is that in most cases, we don't even know what these sins are. With regards to telling tales, Allama Aini rahmatullahi ta'ala narrated from Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi ta'ala that to convey what a person has said to another person with the intention of causing harm is telling tales. I'll repeat this. To convey what a person has said to another person with the intention of causing harm is called tale-telling, gossiping. How many of us do this? How many of us thrive on this? Yeah. There's people that are probably thinking, now that I'm in lockdown, I can't do this because I can't meet people and tell tales and tell people what's going on. And they're upset about this. But you should really be glad that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you an opportunity to stay away from these sins and to rectify yourself and to sort yourself out. But unfortunately nowadays, whenever you sit down and have a conversation, Whenever two people, three people sit down, within a few moments, they'll be telling tales. Within a few moments, they'll be backbiting. No matter what that gathering is, it can be a gathering in a wedding, it can be a gathering in a home, it can be a gathering at a shop, or it can even be a gathering in a religious gathering. When people are sitting in religious gatherings, if they're not careful, even then, they're starting backbiting. Allahu Akbar. The hadith, again, that I mentioned earlier on, the one who engages in telling tales will not enter paradise. If only we can learn to control our tongue. If only can we learn to control what we speak and think before we speak. You know, they say that put your brain into gear before your mouth speaks. But unfortunately, we don't. We think without speaking. We don't even realize what we are speaking. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, good news is for the person who refrains from excessive talking and spends what is excess in his wealth. Good news is for the person who refrains from excessive talking, controlling the tongue. A blessed companion has stated, sometimes a person says something to me and I like to reply him even more than the desire of a thirsty person has for a cold water. But I avoid reply, fearing to be useless talking. And nowadays we talk without even thinking. You know, there was a herbal doctor I know, and he told me that once he went to a hospital to visit his sick friend, and there was like a big open ward. You can imagine the big open ward, it was a male ward and all the people there. And he said to me that that ward was for all those people that had stomach problems. And his friend, he had a stomach ulcer or something and he was due to have an operation. So he went to visit him. And he said, I visited my sick friend, but after I visited my sick friend, when I was coming out of the ward, I asked to see the doctor. And I said, doctor, this ward is for all those people that have stomach problems. And the doctor said, yes. And it was a Muslim country, by the way. He said, this ward is for all those people that have got stomach problems. He said, yes, that's true. And he said, but I'm a doctor, right? And my understanding is that if you have a stomach problem, it doesn't affect your brain and it doesn't affect your speech. And the doctor looked at him and said, yeah, obviously, if you've got a stomach problem, it doesn't affect your brain, it doesn't affect your speech. Okay, if you're in pain, then maybe as a result of the pain, then maybe, it can do something. You can be in pain and not control your speech or whatever, but no, it doesn't affect your brain, it doesn't affect your speech. And he said, yeah, I thought that. He said, but in the patient next to my friend, there is a person who is talking like this. One word at a time. And the doctor smiled at the herbal doctor and he said, yes, I know that. And he said, but why? What's causing this? And he said, that person is here because he's got a stomach ulcer. But he's a God-fearing person. And he is afraid that he will partake in useless talk. And so whenever he speaks one word, thinks, speaks one word, thinks, speaks one word, thinks. And that's why he was only speaking one word at a time. How many of us speak without thinking? And as a result of speaking without thinking, not only could we be doing useless talking, that there is no benefit whatsoever. You know, they say useless talk is that talk which there is no benefit whatsoever. But worse than that is you could say something that is not useless talk, but is harmful talk. That you could harm someone, you could hurt someone's feelings just by speaking and saying something. If you're not careful, you could say something. And there's people out there that, you know, maybe they joke unnecessarily. And when they joke unnecessarily, they joke about the person in front of them. And when they're joking about the person in front of them, everybody else laughs, and that person might laugh as well. But inside that person, he is not happy. He's not happy that you've hurt his feelings. And when I go back to the beginning where I mentioned the four things in Shara Sudur, that hurting a Muslim's feelings, this can be done as a result of you by just joking in front of people. So useless talk is one thing. But if you're not careful, that useless talk can be even go even further. That talk can cause you harm in the form of backbiting, in the form of taunting, in the form of gossiping, in the form of hurting people's feelings, in the form of speaking words that you should not be speaking. And if you're not careful about what you speak, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that this doesn't happen to anybody, but if you're not careful, unfortunately, you could speak words of kufr. I also mentioned where that person lost his iman. We mentioned jealousy. It's stated in a hadith with regards to jealousy, that jealousy consumes good deeds as fire consumes wood. Allahu Akbar. You know, if you've got a load of wood and you set fire to it, then, especially if it's dry wood, then within a short period of time that wood will disappear. It'll be ashes. In the same way, if you have jealousy inside you, it is as if you're setting fire to your good deeds. And your good deeds, what are they? They're like dry wood. It is stated that the one who has jealousy is called a hasad, whereas the one on whom someone is jealous is called a mashud. Stated here is the definition of jealousy extracted from the book Lisanul Arab. Hasad, jealousy, means that you desire for the loss of the blessing of the mashud and for having the same blessing for yourself. So the brother that is in the studio, he has a blessing, yeah? That mashallah, he has a beautiful voice. We listened to his naat early on, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla preserve him and protect him. But jealousy, if I have this jealousy inside me that, you know what, I want him to lose my voice and I want to have that voice, that is classed as jealousy. Where I want him to lose a blessing and I want that blessing. We should never have this. We should be do shukr that this brother has this blessing. Do dua that these people have this blessing. And in the same way that we should be not jealous of people that have more wealth than us, we should be happy for them. If they've given them, yeah, Allah, and think positive as well, because the other thing that happens is when people don't have, when people have wealth for whatever reason, we think negative thoughts. And we start thinking, you know what, I think, you know, he's been up to something dodgy, that's why he's got that money. That young lad driving that sports car, he's been up to something dodgy, that's why he's driving that sports car. There's no way he could afford a car like that. Now, if you think negative about someone, what have you achieved? Ask yourself, what have you achieved? Nothing. Other than the sin of talking bad about someone. Other than the sin of being jealous about someone. Other than the sin of backbiting someone. Other than the sin of slandering someone. Maybe that person, his father, you know, sold some land or I don't know, inheritance, and he's got all this inheritance, and as a result of that now, he's bought himself a nice car. Yeah, you're thinking, no, well, brother, that's few and far between. Yes, it is few and far between. I'll agree with you. But what have you achieved by thinking like that? If you think bad about someone, there is no good in it. There is no good in thinking bad about someone. There is only sin in it. But if you think good about someone, what have you lost? MashaAllah, he's got a good car. Yeah, he's probably got that car because his father gave him some money. Or MashaAllah, may Allah enable him to get a better car. What have you achieved? You've not achieved any bad. You've not accumulated any sins. You've done the dua for him. May Allah accept that dua. May Allah, if that person, Allah forbid, has got that car through bad means, may Allah Azza wa Jalla, as a result of your dua, get it through good means. So never think bad about someone. The Khalifa of Allah Hazrat Khutam al-Madina, Sayyidina Ziyad bin Ahmad Madani Qadri Radri, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, settled in Medina since the Turkish period of service. He stayed in the blessed city for nearly 77 years. And his blessed grave is situated in Jannat al-Baqi. Someone once asked Khutab al-Madina, Rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said to him, Ya Sayyidi, how were the people of Medina in former times? How were the people of Medina in former times? Allahu Akbar. He replied that once there was a rich haji, he went to a cloth shop and he asked for a certain variety of cloth in a large quantity to distribute it amongst the poor. The shopkeeper said, I have the cloth in quantity you need. I've got the cloth that you want, and I've got the quantity that you want, and I've got the quality that you want. But I have a request. I have a request for you that please go to the shop opposite and go and buy the cloth from him. I have had good sales today. I've sold a lot today. But I'm looking at the shopkeeper across the road and he has not been able to sell anything. So go and buy the material from him. And he said, Khutab al-Madina said that the people of Medina were like this in the past. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy on them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Here's a mother, just think to yourself, when someone comes to our business, comes to our shop, wants to buy something from us. Now I'm not going to say to you, send him to another shop. No, I'm not saying that to you. But what do? When the customer comes in our shop and he says, okay brother, yeah, I like that mobile phone that you're showing me. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's not bad. It looks okay. But I'm just going to walk down the street. There's a few shops down there. I'm going to have a look at them shops. And if if I don't find anything there, then I'll come back. What do? Do we say, okay, Tiga, you know, go there, have a look, and I hope you find a better phone? Or in some cases, do we say, no, don't go there. No, you don't know about him. Oh, yeah, he sells stolen phones, yeah. His phones are dodgy. You'll buy them, yeah? And you'll get them home, and they'll be locked, and they'll charge you for unlocking them. Or you buy them, and 3 days later, they won't work. I've had loads of people complaining about it. You don't want to buy from him. Now, if it's true, it's one thing, but in the majority of the cases, it's not. So you've slandered that brother. Why? Just to earn a few pennies. You've slandered that brother just for a few pennies. Allahu Akbar. You know, we need to, when people come to us and they want to go elsewhere, the Tigers support them. Don't slander people. Slandering is a sin. And this sin you will be held accountable for when you're in that dark and lonely grave. You'll be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment. Slander is such a sin that will take you to the hellfire. And you slandered why? So you can earn a few pennies, make a few extra pound. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Ahmad Mu'azzin has stated, I was busy making dua for the Kaaba when my eye fell upon a person who was repeatedly making dua whilst holding onto the holy cloth of the Kaaba. He said, Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, let me depart from this world as a Muslim. I asked him, why are you only making this dua? Why are you not making any other dua? He replied, I had two brothers. My elder brother called the azan in the masjid without pay for 40 years. At the time of the death, he was asked for the Holy Quran. We gave him a copy of the Holy Quran so that he would gain blessings from it. Holding the Quran, he said, Be witness, all of you, that I disbelieve in all Quranic beliefs and the commandments. Saying this, he passed away. Astaghfirullah. My other brother also called the azan in the masjid for 30 years without pay, but he also died as a non-Muslim. Therefore, I'm extremely concerned about my end, and I keep making dua for a good death. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Ahmad Mu'azzin, Rahmatullah, asked him, What sins, what horrific sins did your brothers commit that caused this to happen? Astaghfirullah. The man replied, They had interest in non-mahram women and would look lustfully at beardless boys. Viewers of Madri Channel, what a calamity. Will we not give up unveiling and informal talking to non-mahram women? Will we not save our eyes from seeing non-mahram women, including our sister-in-law and wives of our paternal and maternal uncles? According to Sharia, they are also non-mahram women. In like manner, paternal and maternal cousins have to observe veiling from each other. Likewise, brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws also have to have veiling with each other. And Nahmeram, Peer, and her female disciple are also have to veiling amongst them. You know, we say, oh, she's like our sister. Oh, she's like our brother. There is no like your sister. It is either your sister or your brother. Full stop. There is no like brother or like sister. Yeah? There is brother, sister, full stop. Not like my brother, not like my sister. So we need to be very, very careful about this. And unfortunately, what happens is here in the West, and I think we mentioned it before, that unfortunately we look at non-mahram women on the TVs, on billboards, and think nothing of it. And someone gave me the example once, and I think we've shared this before with you, but we'll share it again, that he said if you were to get 2 pans of water, you get 2 pans of water, and in 1 pan you get boiling water, and you put a frog in it, what happens is the frog jumps out of the pan straight away. But you get another pan of water, and in that pan of water you put cold water, and you put the frog in it, the frog's happy. You then put the cooker on underneath a slow heat, and slowly, 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 you turn up the heat, and the water gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and what happens? The frog dies. And the example he gave was, that person that jumps out of the pan is like that person that comes from a Muslim country to a non-Muslim country the first time. He comes here, you pick him up from the airport, you're taking him home, and all the way home, he's going, Astaghfirullah, 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 and you're going, So with him? Why is he saying this? And he's saying it because he's that person in that pan, that he's seeing things that are frightening him. He's seeing billboards, and we're this person in this pan here, that we're dying, spiritually we're dying because we're seeing it all the time, and we don't even think anything of it. Whereas this person, he's seeing it for the first time, and he's protecting himself. Whereas us, the majority of us, it's just normal. It's just normal. And we're committing the sin without even thinking that we're committing the sin. We don't even realize that we're looking at non-mahram women. We don't even realize when we're flicking through them channels, when we're looking at that magazine, when we're looking at them billboards, when we're looking at them signs, when we're driving our cars, when we're walking down the streets, when we go to shopping centers, when we go to picnic places, when we go to all these places, we don't even realize that we're committing the sin. Looking at non-mahram women. So again, this is another one of those things. This is another one of those things, viewers of Madani Channel, that can take your iman away from you. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also warned us that the person who has the means of performing Hajj and who has no apparent obstacles, no oppressive ruler, nor any disease that prevents him, and if he dies without performing Hajj, he may die as a Jew or he may die as a Christian. Allahu Akbar. This shows that the one who died without performing Hajj, despite it being fard upon him, is in extreme danger of losing his iman at that time. Many of us, Hajj is fard upon us. When is Hajj fard upon us? Has it become fard upon you when you have the money to perform the Hajj? And at the moment we're talking about £5,000, £6,000 here in the UK, that if you have that money, Hajj has become fard upon you. And the conditions here, for example, it actually mentions here that if there's no oppressive ruler or no disease. So if the disease, like we've got the current situation, if the disease prevents you from going this year, if you've made the intention to go on the Hajj this year, and as a result of the situation, you cannot perform the Hajj because you're not allowed to go there, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive you. But you need to make the intention to go on the Hajj next year. And all of you out there that are listening to this, please, I sincerely humbly request you, if you are financially capable of performing the Hajj, make the intention that, Ya Allah, as soon as the doors of Haramain open, I'm able to perform the Hajj, I will go at the first instance and perform the Hajj. If it is in my kismet, I will go and perform the Hajj this year. If not, then I will perform the Hajj next year. But make the intention. Make the intention that, inshaAllah, Allah forbid, if Allah Azza wa Jalla takes your soul away with you in this year, then as a result of your sincere intention, then I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that your iman is intact at that time. Allahu Akbar. We're coming back to those things that can cause you to lose your iman. Sadr Sharia, Badr Tariqa, Alama Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, stated, whoever continues to speak while the azan is going on is in danger of having a bad end. We need to hear, unfortunately, we don't get the opportunity to hear the azan, but if you do hear the azan, you know, when you see people that are inside the masjid, then the azan's taking place and they're still talking to each other. They're still on their mobile phones talking with each other. Yeah? This again can be a result, can result in you losing your iman. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that a person who was not apparently known for his virtuous deeds passed away. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his blessed companions, do you know that Allah has made that person enter paradise? The blessed companions were surprised, because he did not apparently perform any remarkable deed. Later on, one of the companions went to the deceased home and asked his wife of any particular virtuous deed. She replied, I do not know of any particular deed. But what I do know is that whether it was day or night, whenever he heard the azan, he would reply to it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar once went to visit a person who was close to death. The great saint repeatedly advised him to recite the kalima, but he continued to say, 10, 11, 10, 11. When the man was asked to why, he continued to say this. And he replied, there is a mountain of fire in front of me. Whenever I try to recite the kalima, the mountain of fire approaches to burn me. The great saint then asked people as to what the deeds of the dying person used to be in this world. And they replied that he was an interest taker and he would weigh things dishonestly while selling them. Allahu Akbar. How many of us, if we are selling things, we sell underweight. You're selling meat, you're selling vegetables, you're selling fruit, you're selling whatever it is, and you don't weigh it, or you add a little bit of extra weight when you're charging them at the till. If you are doing that, repent. And I mentioned at the beginning, those conditions that you need to do to sincerely repent. It is stated in Ruh al-Bayan that the one weighing dishonestly will be thrown into the depths of hell on the day of judgment, and having been made to sit between two mountains of fire, he will be commanded to weigh them. When he approaches the mountains, the fire will burn him. Astaghfirullah. It is narrated that Sayyidina Sufyan Sauri and Sayyidina Shayban Rahi Ramutullahi Ta'ala once met each other. Sayyidina Sufyan Sauri continued to cry the entire night. When Sayyidina Shaban Rahi Ramutullahi Ta'ala asked him the reason for this, he said, I have been weeping in fear of having a bad end at the time of death. I received Islamic education from a Sheikh for 40 years. He worshipped for 60 years in the Masjid al-Haram. but he died in a state of kufr. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Shayban Rahi said, O Sufyan, this was the consequence of his sins. You should never disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. We need to make a habit of never disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we need to have the knowledge, what is obeying and what is disobeying. And like we said at the beginning, do we have that knowledge? And it is stated, viewers of Madinah Channel, because people don't realize, it is stated that when a person is close to death, two shaitans will come and sit on his right and left side in the guise of your dying father, of the person's father. The shaitan on the right side will say, oh son, look, I am your kind and caring father. I advise you to die after you have embraced this religion, as this is the best of all religions. The shaitan on the left will come in the guise of the dying person's mother and say, oh my beloved child, I carried you in my womb, I fed you with my milk, and I carried you in my lap. Oh beloved son, I advise you to die after you have embraced this religion, as it is the best religion. And both of them will try and get you to leave Islam at that time. Just think, will your senses work when that is happening, when you're in the agonies of death? And we are told that that pain that you will feel there, you just think in the dunya, in this world when you have a toothache, do you think straight? When you've got a toothache, you see people, they're falling sick. Why? Because I've got a toothache. The question could be asked, well, you don't work with your teeth. Why are you taking a day off work? Why? Because that toothache causes you so much pain that you just can't think straight. You're in pain and you can't think straight. Why? Because of a toothache. The pain of death. If you cannot function properly, if you cannot think properly because of the pain of a tooth, just think, will you be able to function properly? Will you be able to think properly with the pain of death? Allahu Akbar. Hajjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, at the time of death, Satan, along with his accomplices, comes to the dying person in the guise of his friends and relatives. They all say to him, brother, we have tasted death before you. We are all well aware of whatever happens after. Now it is your turn. We give you a sincere suggestion to accept this faith, leave Islam, as this religion that they will say to you, be it Judaism, be it Christianity, is the only religion acceptable to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If the dying person does not accept what they say, these shaitans appear in the form of other friends and advise him to accept another religion. In this manner, different shaitanic groups in the guise of friends and relatives will come to you and try and take your iman with you, away from you. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on our condition. We do not know what will happen to us at the time of death. We do not know what sins we have committed that will take our iman away from us. We need to try and learn to protect our iman. Allah Hazrat has stated that Islamic scholars have said, the one who has no fear, listen to this, the one who has no fear of losing his iman in his life is in extreme danger of losing his iman at the time of his death. How many are concerned about our iman? How many are worried that I will do something that will cause me to lose my iman? You know, when we came here today, we came to the studio, the brothers that came here, the technical team here, my fellow Shohei Bhai, you know, I'm sure that he didn't leave his car unlocked. He locked his car. I locked my car. We locked the doors when we came in. When we left our homes, we locked our homes. We lock our homes, we lock our cars, we lock our worldly things. What locks do we put on ourselves to protect our iman? What locks do we do to protect our iman? And as we mentioned at the beginning, you know, the five daily prayers, these are five daily locks to protect your iman. And these sins that we mentioned, we need to make sure that we stay away from these sins. Hajjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, if you wish to remain safe from bad end, spend your entire life in obeying Allah Azza wa Jalla, avoiding each and every sin. It is necessary that you have fear like that of the Arafin, so that you weep a lot and remain sad all the time. So try and weigh away from sins, and don't ever think to yourself, ah, it's only a small sin, I'll get away with it. You're not going to get away with anything. You can't brush anything in the carpet. You can't say, oh, I'll forget about it. Don't worry, nothing's going to happen. You need to have that fear inside you that you're going to be held accountable for all the sins that you're going to commit. So we pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we protect our iman. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how worried he was about our iman. It is stated on page 315 of the 10th volume of Ruhul Bayan that one shaitan with a water bottle in his hand came to the court of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, I sell this bottle to people at the time of their death in exchange for their iman. listening to this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wept so much that his blessed members, family members, also began to weep. Allah Azza wa Jal then sent a revelation. Oh my beloved, don't be sad. I protect my servants at the time of their death from shaitanic deception. Viewers of Madri channel, let's all do dua that Allah Azza wa Jal protect our iman, safeguard our iman. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, give us the ability to not perform any of those actions, not perform any sins, but especially those that we've heard today that can cause us to lose our iman. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I have said today and to read these booklets. This booklet, that the Beyond that I delivered today, was a booklet that's called The Causes of Bad End. And it's available online from www.dawatislami.net. Please download the book. Don't just download that book. Download all the books there and acquire the knowledge of the deen. In these times, like I said at the beginning, where you are in lockdown, you're having to sit at home, utilize that time. Utilize that time and say that you've achieved something in this time. Read the books that are available. Do the zikr. Do the Rudai Park. Make sure you correct your salah. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is providing these services on many, many Facebook pages, whether there are salah courses, there are zikrs taking place, nashis are taking place, dars is taking place, and you can tune in and better yourself and join these and take your time. So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we all benefit from what we have said today. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me if I made any mistakes. Ameen bijahi Nabi Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.